This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Tank wisely.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Are we going to tank? Meaning the Patriots.
Yeah, it's happened.
And I keep telling them, they are not. Because Belichick doesn't tank, man.
Earlier on the show, Bengals wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase. Coming up, Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence. Fox Sports college football insider Bruce Feldman. Writer, director, and comedian Robert Smigel. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Trevor Lawrence, in just a handful of minutes, will be hopping on a Zoom to chit-chat with us. Ja'Marr Chase already chatted with us. That was an enjoyable conversation. I'm going against him in fantasy. He basically told me tough. So there's that.
He was not sympathetic.
Bruce Feldman is going to be joining us in studio in the middle of this hour. As soon as we end the Zoom with him, he'll be joining us here. And the college football playoff standings going into the final weekend of the season have been set. And I will ask for clarification from Bruce, how he views them. It sure looks to me as if Ohio State is set up to get in if Florida State loses, which to me is the most likely result of any of the teams in the Final Four losing this weekend. That's the most likely, with all due respect to Alabama and obviously Oregon fans that feel that they have a really good chance this weekend. But
Oregon's favored in the game.
I get it. And I understand why. They've been playing, I think, consistently better since losing to Washington than Washington has since that win.
Yeah, right? You could say offensively they're one of the hottest teams in college football.
Right, so, yeah. You know, and Bo Nix along with Daniels and LSU's, those are...
Bo Nix is seemingly the favorite right now, yeah. So we'll see,
for
see
Heisman,
how the weekend goes.
That's in a couple of Saturdays from now.
Yep.
So, you know, and then... Screw it, I'll go here too. I'll ask you, since you have no dog, if you will, in this hunt.
I don't, although Syracuse just hired a new head coach. Very excited
from
about
Georgia.
That. From
Georgia. You definitely want to take the fruit of the vine, I'll tell you that.
I definitely want a little Georgia leftover.
Guess what?
Coming up north.
The Philadelphia Eagles have taken that.
Yeah.
And they're about to go to potentially a second straight Super Bowl, right?
Exactly. Hey.
I understand.
Tranquilo,
but I'll ask you this. I want to ask you this. You tell me. Straight up. You too, TJ, even though you've got a little bit of a dog in Penn State hunt here. Okay.
In the Florida State.
Okay. No. Well, I got you. Here we go. Had Ohio State beaten Michigan, do you think Ohio State would be 2 and Michigan would be 6?
Yes.
You do? Okay. For real? For real.
Yeah, why wouldn't they? Why do you think it wouldn't have been?
I think Ohio State would be 1 and Michigan would be 8.
8?
Oh, yeah. Michigan would be behind Texas and Alabama. They would have fallen all the way off because they didn't play anybody. And Ohio State had beaten Notre Dame, and they're 10 men on defense. Penn State would be the same. Okay, Michigan won there. Ohio State won in the shoe. Just pointing, I'm just wondering.
I think my argument would be
there's
stay
also the Connor Stallions thing, you know?
Okay, I see what you're saying.
There would have been no style points for the fact that Michigan didn't have their coach, which, by the way, they went into Penn State and beat Ohio State without their head coach.
Well, he coached all week except for Saturday.
That was the penalty.
One. Yeah, real slap on the pinky, that penalty.
Okay. That's your opinion.
I don't think so.
You don't think Ohio State would be 1?
I don't think they would be 1, no.
You don't?
How are you going to penalize a team that's won 29 straight games and has won the last two championships? They've been
won all year. They didn't boat race Georgia Tech.
They didn't play their best players.
Okay.
Rivalry game too.
Are you as steadfast with him?
After you gave your argument and I'm thinking about the Stallions thing, I'm like, you're probably right.
Everybody is ready to stomp all over America's team.
Well, stop it with
you
that.
You would at least appreciate that. By the way, what are you laughing at, Chris?
Stop with the American.
It's Michigan versus everybody.
Isn't it everybody versus everybody?
Exactly. It's everybody's school against everybody else.
Then it should be Dallas against
everybody.
It's
Tom Brady going up there and saying everyone thinks we suck, except we were the Super Bowl favorite that year.
Here's what I need you to do. I need this. All right, I'm asking. You got to stop your eye rolling at me.
Michigan is the betting favorite to win the national championship.
You
got to
stop your.
Who are you going against,
Chris?
What is this? Everybody.
You of everyone.
It's the problem
should,
you created.
No, you should stop the eye rolling.
Oh, because we're on the same team now.
I'm trying.
I know.
To be the guy who relishes in the hate.
I want you on the dark side.
I've never been in this position.
Kylo
It's going to take me time to ramp up to it, and I'm trying to work my way into it. Instead, I look over at you, and I feel your scorn. I feel your eye rolls, and you got to be with me here.
I mean, he's not going to be with you.
He's got, well, if it's in Michigan against Georgia, I understand that's where we got to go our separate ways. But until then, Chris,
I do want
you've
got to
foster this aspect of me.
You're right.
He told me 2 years ago, say it with my chest.
And you've been
doing it. I said it with my chest, and then I said it with my chest so damn much. Last year, I was like the alien was popping out of my chest.
Almost you need to have a vest over your chest
now,
when you go back to
And
Ohio.
Now I'm turning to you,
you
and I'm saying
side.
It's time for you to foster this part of my Michigan sort of
He doesn't want to see you happy, though.
A transformation,
and you're not allowing
this flower to bloom.
Well, I think,
okay?
I think you have
Stop
a,
your eye rolling at
I think
me.
The eye rolling is in response to the tone.
It shouldn't be, but it shouldn't matter. You're the one who was there. Tom Brady's right. As we went off to our umpteenth Super Bowl, everybody is expecting us to lose.
But everyone did brush them off
after the Bengals game.
You know what I mean?
That guy.
After the Chiefs game.
Okay.
After they lost to the Chiefs 42-14.
All I'm saying is help me become you.
No, you don't want that. You don't
in
want
this situation.
Listen,
all right?
Listen.
And I never say that to you.
You don't want
Will you
that.
Please?
Okay.
Come on. I'm looking to you for guidance, not scorn.
You're right. I'll be a better
teammate. Thank you.
I'll be a better teammate.
Is he the one you want to look to
I'll
for guidance
for
in this particular?
As now that Michigan's the team to hate.
I'll be a better teammate.
Okay.
Please.
You might not be able to get out of that hole, though.
All right.
That's funny.
Look who's joining us right now on the Rich Eisen Show on Zoom. There he is, Trevor Lawrence of the Jacksonville Jaguars. What's up, Trevor? Is that an actual jaguar behind you? Is that what
it is?
Is that?
Yeah.
What is that? Wow.
My brother and sister-in-law did this. They're artists. They painted it for me. I'll pick it up so you guys can see it a little better.
Look at that.
Yeah. Wow. So I've got it hung up in the office.
I got to tell you, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little intimidated now.
That's dope.
I'm a little intimidated. You know, that jaguar looks ready to pounce, man. You know?
Yeah, it's supposed to be like Clemson, the Tiger, and the Jaguar. Like both.
Like,
I see that.
It's a cat theme.
That is cool.
I like it. How are you doing, man? How's it going?
I'm doing great. Doing great. How are you guys doing?
I have not seen you since London. And, you know, it feels to me, Trevor, last year, London was a turning point for you because you didn't have that great of a game and you learned from it. And, you know, Doug Peterson was talking about the lessons you learned from the adversity, and it feels that London was kind of a turning point in another direction again for you guys this year. Back-to-back games, first team to ever do that. You won those, and you've been crushing ever since. Trevor, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I think, especially in the NFL, in your season, you're going to have some adversity. You're going to have some challenges. Usually, it doesn't go super clean and perfect for a team. You know, at some point, you're going to hit a few bumps in the road. So, you know, I think for us, it was probably good for us that it happened early. You know, it seemed like we couldn't, you know, find our groove offensively. Just weren't playing great. We lost those two games back to back at home, and then we went away to London and kind of got back on track. And I think that helped us. And whatever you can do to find your rhythm, the sooner the better, obviously. But there's going to be times where you might not have a great game as an offense or a couple games, and you just got to find a way to bounce back and get out of that funk. And I think that's something that is going to happen to every team in the NFL at some point in the season. Matter of whether the team can, you know, come out of it or not.
What's the best piece of advice Doug Peterson has imparted to you, Trevor? What do you got for me?
You know, that's a tough question. You know, I can't think of one specific thing. I think just his whole mindset and really the way that me and him interact, you know, he's very, he really just lets me play. I think that's such a powerful thing as a quarterback to have a coach that has full confidence and trust in you, even when you make some mistakes and obviously you're not going to play perfect and all of that. You know, his trust and confidence in me never wavers. And I think that's something he's proven by the way, you know, the decisions he makes in games, whether it's maybe going for on some fourth downs or different things, you know, throughout last year and this year. I think him having that confidence, I mean, he continues to tell me all the time, whether the play was good, bad, either way, you know, I think he has kept that confidence, and that's given me a lot of confidence. I can just go play. I don't have to worry about really anything. And of course, you're going to make some mistakes and you're not going to make every play, but having the ability to go play with confidence, I know that Coach Peterson and the whole staff and all the players have that full confidence in me just to go, you know, let it loose.
Yeah, I know. And I guess it's tough for me to ask you for one specific, since it is a residual thing that you just described, right? Because, I mean, you know, trust is something that is earned. It is gained. It is something that you feel over time. But I'm just wondering, is it his demeanor that you vibe with? I'm just trying to, you know, get something to drill down here about this one.
Yeah, it's everything. You know, the way he carries himself, he's just always the same guy. You know, he's very consistent in the way he carries himself, whether we're on a winning streak or losing streak or whatever. Obviously, it's a lot more fun coming to work when you're winning. You know, just the whole vibe in the building is better. But I will say, you know, we've had some different, you know, I guess, time periods last year or even this year where we haven't been playing great. And he just does a good job of managing all the highs and the lows that a season can hold. And I think that's really important from a head coach, is just to balance that, because there's going to be times where team might not be playing great, but the season's so long and you got to find a way to get the guys back on track, but also to lead the right way to where it's not like panic and throw everything out, because you can't do that because it's such a long season. And like I said earlier, you're going to have some games where you might not play your best. So I think he handles that really well. And then I just think overall his demeanor, the environment that he's created, the culture here, it's just a place that people want to be. You know, it's fun going to work. You know, it's very sustainable. You know, it's not a dictatorship. It's not, you know, he lets guys have personalities and all these things. I think he does a great job of just, you know, allowing his players to lead as well. You know, it's not like it's all just what he says goes. I think he does a great job of feeling out the players, and we have a leadership committee that meets every week and just really keeps us involved in everything that he does. And I think he's done an awesome job.
Trevor Lawrence here on the Rich Eisen Show. And, you know, last year you win the division sort of coming out of the blue, right? You caught fire and you won it then. And in terms of, I guess, journeys and growing and things of that nature, the win you just had is a potential sort of a stamp. Like, this is your division. The fact that Houston came in and did hand you a loss, it was their first win of the season, and that's where C.J. Stroud is, as you know, has started to really come on strong. But you went into their house and ended any thoughts of them taking things over, and I'm wondering if that has added to a different sense as you go into a home game on a Monday night against an opponent that, you know, has been at the top of the conference the last couple of years, and that you're now beginning to have a stamp in your hand. Trevor, is that accurate?
Yeah, 100%. You know, you look at the games, including last week and, you know, before that game, all the games that we have left on our schedule, and I think we have an opportunity every week to prove something. It's that way every week anyways, but you mm-hmm. look at the teams that we're playing, you know, big win last week in Houston, a team, like you said, it's playing really well. CJ's obviously playing great. The team's playing well, and they were getting hot, you know, and I think that was a big win for us, because if we, you know, we lose that game, we're tied for the lead, and I guess they get the tiebreaker because they beat us twice. So, I mean, that game was huge. And then we don't really control our own destiny for the rest of the season. You know, you can kind of hope you get a wild card spot or anything like that, or, you know, hope that Houston loses some games. But you don't want to be in that spot. You want to control your own destiny. So that was the first step. And then this week, obviously, a big AFC opponent. And just looking where we're at, we just got to take it one week at a time. You know, we got a chance to do something special, put ourselves in a great position entering the postseason. You know, but we got to take it one week at a time, and this will be a great opportunity. It hasn't been a Monday night football in Jacksonville in a long time. So I know everybody's excited for that, and we just got to make the most of it.
Yeah, you got a Sunday nighter home against Baltimore coming up down the road as well. And in terms of your development, how are you better now than when you were even at the beginning of this season, do you think? What do you got for me there?
Yeah, I think I'm just continually becoming more consistent. You know, every week, I think I'm, for the most part, making better decisions, taking care of the ball. That's something that, since my rookie year, just been an emphasis. Taking care of the ball, making good decisions. You still got to play with instincts. You got to go play. You can't be scared to let it rip. So I think there's a balance in all that. But Yeah, I think those are the biggest things. Accuracy, I think that's something that has probably been my biggest improvement since my rookie year. I think about halfway during the season last year, I really took a jump in that area, and just giving our guys chances, whether it's outside, you know, wherever, you know, I think just accuracy in general, I've gotten a lot better. And then just, like I said, decision making, all those things, and just making the right play at the right time. You know, I think there's a time and a place. You got to have some judgment on when you want to take shots and take chances. And I think, you know, I'm getting better at all that. Still a lot of improvement to be done. You know, I think we need to get better at finishing games. You know, we had an opportunity to kind of put Houston away last week and weren't able to do it. So always stuff you can get better at. But I do, I like the strides that, you know, I've taken and that this offense has taken this season.
And then how about playing with discomfort? You learning how to do that? Because I'm assuming there's got to be some there. You're not wearing a brace for style points. You know what I mean? So what about that?
Yeah, you know, I'm feeling a lot better, okay. Thankfully. You know, it doesn't bother me as much to move around. It's more of just a kind of precautionary thing. You just don't want to get rolled up on and kind of re-injure the knee. So at this point, it's feeling good. Like the last couple of weeks, I think really the Tennessee game and this last week against Houston, I felt 100% comfortable moving around and just playing normal. So those are the first 2 weeks in a while that I felt that way. So that's exciting, you know, for the stretch that we got ahead of us, that I can feel that way, because there's nothing worse than feeling like you can't necessarily do everything and react the way you want to in games. You know, that's not a good feeling, especially as a quarterback.
Okay, so let's have a little bit of fun before I let you on your Wednesday, and I appreciate you spending, this is your off day, so I appreciate you doing this, Trevor. What requires more maintenance, your actual hair or Shad Khan's facial hair, Trevor? What do you got for me?
I don't know what goes into, his, keeping that mustache
okay
perfect like he does all the time. But so I don't know. That's a good question. I feel like the mustache, you know, I feel like he's got to brush it. You know, I don't brush my hair every day, so I feel like he has to brush the mustache every day.
Oh, hold on a second. Are you just trying to show me up right now that you don't,
no, not every day. You don't, I'd say once or twice a week, maybe.
What?
Yeah.
That's all it. Like, okay, all right. So there's no maintenance required, you know?
Just got to wash it, like shampoo and condition it a couple times a week.
In one? Shampoo and conditioner in one?
Again, no,
it's been years for me. It's been years for me. So I'm sorry if this comes across as weird, but it's been
two separate. Usually those aren't as good quality from my experience if it's a point.
Okay. and then how steep is that hill in Clemson, man? How steep is the
pretty
hill?
Steep. I mean, it's pretty steep, but where it gets you is halfway down, it kind of levels off.
Okay.
So you go down, it kind of gets flat, and then it drops off again. So a bunch of guys will like run down, then jump in the air and land. And I don't know how they do that. But a lot of guys, I mean, we've had a couple guys fall in the past.
I imagine so.
That's,
I mean,
always.
Dabo, man. I mean, how is Dabo not eating it? He doesn't.
Somehow
eat it.
Coach Sweeney is like, whatever, you know, 1,000 for 1,000 on that hill, and he runs full speed. I mean, he's running like 20 miles an hour down that thing.
Right. So did you ever come close to eating it yourself or what?
No, I mean, I was calculated. I was real slow, just a little trot down it, never jumped. I'd have got like the DBs and some of the receivers and stuff beside me would like jump in the air. But we'd have guys that would fall and roll down the hill. And then Monday morning or Monday for our team meeting, they'd put it up on the screen in slow motion and zoom in on the guys that would fall down the hill.
Right.
So it was pretty good.
Okay. Very good. And so do you have I don't know if you pay attention to the college football playoffs right now. Do you got any team that you think can win it all? Trevor, what do you got for me on that front? What do you think?
You know, I think it'd be interesting just to see who gets in. You know, this is looking at it this year. I mean, it's tough. You got four spots and it seems like there's a lot of scenarios based on what happens in the conference championships. There's a lot of scenarios that could make it a tough decision. So I'll be interested just to see who gets in. Obviously Georgia last couple of years has been dominant, you know, so they take care of business in the conference championship they're in. And then they might be in anyways. I don't know. So that's an example. Like, I don't know what happens there.
Yeah, Alabama, I got you. You know? One day you'll tell your kids you used to play when, you know, when it was just four teams, man, you know, and now, I mean, we're going to get 12. And remember when everybody said, hey, cut these college kids. We can't have them play 15, 16 games. Like, that's coming. That's right around the corner, man.
Is it 12? Is it 8? What is the next year?
It's going to be 12 next year. Going to be 12.
Oh, my gosh.
With a conference championship game and 12 regular season games.
they're going to be playing an NFL schedule soon.
There'll be no rookie wall. That's for sure.
No.
Trevor, thanks for the time. Again, let's give a shout out. Who are the artists? Where's that? What's that artwork behind you, behind your left shoulder?
Chase and Brooke Lawrence. It's my brother and sister-in-law. Okay. So they, just a little shout out for them.
There you go. Very nicely done. Very nicely done. Trevor, thanks for your time, man. Good to see you. You be well.
Yeah.
Enjoy the rest of your off day. You got it. That's the great Trevor Lawrence right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Check out Monday Night Football.
That was great.
Dude, let's just quickly do this, and then we'll bring Bruce Feldman out here. You, on Overreaction Monday, said the Jaguars are going to be the one seed. You're trying to speak this into existence.
Well, before
you
said, the season.
You said it before the season.
I said there was a path to them being the one seed in the
AFC.
Well,
there is now.
Yeah.
Problem for them is they got to have a better record than Kansas City.
Right.
If they're straight up with them. Right. Or in any tiebreak, they'll be bounced out due to that tiebreak.
Right.
But let's just say they take care of business at home against Cincinnati, since they should. Let's be straight up.
They should.
Okay. Quarterback-driven league. We'll go there.
Yep.
Then they go to Cleveland. Now, that one is just going to be huge.
No idea what the Browns' offense looks like.
Or defense. I mean, I guess it's a day-to-day for Myles Garrett.
Correct.
But, I mean, if the guy was in a sling last week and he might be, you know, who knows, putting it on the line against the Rams, I'll just put it this way. Let's say Cleveland is full complement defense, but you're going against Jake Browning and DTR or Joe Flacco or PJ Walker, and I know they have all won games.
Should win the next two.
That game against Baltimore, they win that.
Huge.
At Tampa, home for Carolina, at Tennessee.
Should win out.
That would make them 13-3, which is good enough for the one seed. But 14-3, pardon me. My God, I'm so bad at this now.
Yeah, but even if they win five of the last six, that's 13-4.
13-4.
That's one seed territory.
Certainly, if you've got a tiebreak against Baltimore and you're hoping that Kansas City doesn't have the same record as you and that Miami doesn't catch fire either, but they're in this mix. They're absolutely in the mix, and that's why I wanted to just point out, that, okay, Houston, you came in to our house, and now you're feeling good about yourselves. Guess what? We're winning this, and we're now going to be two games better than you. You're not going to be in first place. We are, and you're going to be looking. You're going to be far back in our rearview mirror. And keep putting stamps on it. This is our home on Monday Night Football. We're winning. This is our home on Sunday Night Football, Baltimore. We're winning. Keep putting stamps down. They can be the one seed. Let's take a break. Bruce Feldman next on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. This will be fun. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items, from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, radio audience coming back in a moment. So first of two times I say hello to you, Bruce Feldman. Good to see you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great.
You know, and I'm glad you are here because your information is unbesmirchable. You are a guy who knows everything about everything. So I can ask you this and I'll know I'm going to get a straight answer and it's going to be absolutely true. What did it say on the scoreboard at the end of the Michigan-Ohio State game? It's just in numbers. What did it say? What was that?
I think Michigan had six more points than our rival.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thanks for coming. Bruce Feldman, everybody. See, now, can you at least?
Could you imagine if you really like sent him home after that?
Did we not talk about this like about 3 or 4 weeks ago?
What did we talk about?
We talked about a scenario. Well, what happens if they suspend Jim? And it's like, in retrospect now, it's like, It's curious to see how the NCAA is going to handle this going forward, whether Jim's there or not, because you basically suspended the head coach for the two biggest games of the season in the league.
The biggest game, by the way, of the year in the entire sport that 19 million people saw on your network.
That's true.
You know, and obviously there are bigger games with bigger stakes to come, but
biggest regular season game of by far.
Period. Yes. Right. So, and he wasn't there. So I would say that is a punishment. However, you know, as Chris pointed out, he was around all week.
Yeah.
I'll be here all week.
Literally just wasn't there for game time.
No, but that's the crucial kind of moment right there.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, because without your head coach, who's going to just hop up and down with a whistle in the middle of everybody dancing on the field? Who's going to do that?
Ryan Day needs a guy to cry for him. Who's crying for Ryan Day?
Sorry,
we're on the same team.
Is that right now, see? Sorry. Aren't you glad?
But it's
You're terrible. All right, so we're here on the Rich Eisen Show. Bruce Feldman is here to go through what we saw last night, so we will do that in a second. The Rich Eisen Show radio network is back on the air with my Roku channel live stream. I'm at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Bruce Feldman is back here. What was it like in Ann Arbor? Paint the word picture for me. Pre-game, during game, after game. What do you got for me? What do you got?
Intense. It was at times when Zach Zinner goes down and it gets silent. And then there's a cheer starts to build up and he responds to the crowd. I thought there was if there couldn't have been more drama ratcheted into that, into that moment. And then look, you know, as nasty as rivalry is, credit to Ryan Day. He did run up the tunnel to go to pay his respect to him, you know, to Zinter. And then the very next play, Blake Corum breaks like a 20-yard touchdown run.
And flashes 6'5", his number, at the Fox camera.
And this is Zach Zinter and Blake Corum, both guys who decided, hey, we're coming back for one more. I mean, he's a running back, and he's coming off injury and decided, hey, I'm not done yet. And then the post game was kind of what you'd expect. As crazy as it's going to sound, it did not, as memorable as it was, the year before in Columbus, to me, kind of blew my mind because I didn't see it coming and the way it fell apart. And it was almost like, yeah, we're the only people in this building who think this is going to happen. And it did. In this case, it kind of went the way a lot of us thought it was going to go, right? Michigan this year had a big edge at quarterback, and that bared out. Michigan rode its run game and just kept on leaning on them. Eventually, it was good enough. Their defense made enough plays.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there was anything shocking about it like this. You know, the theater of it, no Jim Harbaugh. It was just it felt like big time college football all the way through. The atmosphere was intense throughout. There was like never a lull in it. Even when it got quiet, like I said, in the Zach Zinter gruesome injury.
Mm-hmm.
It ratcheted the intensity even more into the building.
And it was great that you mentioned how Ryan Day does go and comforts Zinter, and then Sharon Moore and the Michigan staff went out to, I believe it was Tui Moloau,
who was
involved in the sequence where Zinter's tib fib occurred, and they went and consoled him, or at least went up and, you know, and tapped him on the helmet and all that. And then, obviously, everybody goes back to their corners and comes out fighting again. what happens now? I feel like we're through the Connor Stallions, what did it all mean during the games phase? At least I'd like to think that's now put to bed. Now we're in the are we in the penalty phase? Because
for
Jim already
Harbaugh
got
stuff.
Because Jim got three games, and it's not just any three games. What is happening with this? Are we going to hear anything before the Big Ten or
no,
the final?
I don't.
So we're still in the investigatory phase.
Yeah, and
now.
I think at this point that's a postseason deal. Now.
Okay,
that is when I say postseason, I'm post. You know, that's a 2024 deal.
Okay.
To me, because at this point, if anything comes to light, no matter what it is, at this point, you know, again, Michigan served a significant punishment. Their head coach was away from them. He wasn't away from them for the whole week.
Yes.
But he was away from them on Saturdays. And that does matter. Now, is it as big a deal if he was away permanently? No. But I think at this point, the NCAA is going to go through its process. And we'll circle back on that when it happens.
Well, the crucial part about that, just to jump in here, is that, you know, obviously it depends on how many more games Michigan wins this year, how Harbaugh's standing might be with the Regents at Michigan or what happens. But, you know, the NFL coaching hiring season is going to start the first Sunday before the national championship game.
And he is the one guy in the college coaching space who has a big-time NFL coaching pedigree.
Yes.
You know, if Nick Saban at this stage of his career somehow desperately wanted to be a head NFL coach, but like Jim Harbaugh took his team that wasn't very good before he got there to a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
44-19 is a really impressive resume. There will be jobs. My gut, and this is something that some people inside Michigan mm-hmm. kind of also buy, there's going to be a rebuild in Ann Arbor. Yeah, there's a transfer portal. Yeah, there's still some really good young players who can't leave early. But the bulk of those starters are going on to the NFL. The NCAA is not going to be done with Michigan now. They are not. There will be more punishment. And if Jim Harbaugh is still there, it's not like, oh, yeah, he served three games for the Big Ten. But we're still not happy with how the sanctions are going to be laid out for the mm-hmm. COVID recruiting issues. So I think I'd still be surprised if Jim Harbaugh is the head coach at Michigan a year from now.
Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. Interpret the college football playoff standings for me. How do you interpret what the committee put out there on Tuesday night?
I think the committee reinforced something that I think a lot of us thought might happen, which was they dropped Ohio State a little further down than maybe people thought it was
going
to be.
I thought it's too high. No, I'm not saying that for rivalry purposes. I mean, Texas and Alabama's playing for their titles.
And if they win, they will leapfrog Ohio State.
You do believe that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because they'd be conference champs. If Alabama beats Georgia, they're leapfrogging a bunch of people, not just Ohio State.
Okay. Because to me, this indicates, hey, all Florida State's got to do, all Ohio State needs is Florida State slips up and they're –
no.
They're moving forward. Otherwise, why not put Ohio State down below Alabama, right?
I think what Ohio State needs to have happen mm-hmm. is they certainly need Florida State to lose. I think they need Georgia. I think they need Georgia to win. You know, they need obviously Michigan to win. Ohio State, then maybe they could be into the number four slot. But they really need not. I think they not only need Florida State to lose. I think they need Texas to get knocked off by Oklahoma State too. I think it's going to be a harder sell. I mean, Oklahoma State's not a very good team, especially by conference championship game standards.
Right.
But if you're Ohio State, I think the thing that also hurts them a little bit, they have Penn State's number 10. Notre Dame is a solid win on the road, but that's about it. And they had a close loss at Michigan. I think the thing that hurts them a little, significantly is when you look at that team, they do not look as dangerous as the team last year. The team last year had CJ Stroud, and that gave them a puncher's chance against anybody. They almost took down Georgia, and they came within the last second field goal of doing that. Kyle McCord, of what I think the committee has looked and seen,
mm-hmm.
is a good young quarterback. There's a big difference now in that offense. And I think I don't think they have as much of a fear factor as an opponent as the team last year did. I just don't think just from seeing them a lot last year and seeing this team now a lot in person, they're not as good. They may be a little better on defense, but offensively, they are not the same team.
So let's put it up one more time, because I've got a few questions. Let's just go through one at a time. So what the conference playoff, college football playoff rankings show, winner of Pac-12 in, loser out, right?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Florida State wins, they're in.
They need to be. They deserve 13-0, and you whipped the third best team in the SEC by like 3 or 4 touchdowns. Yeah, I think they deserve it.
Okay, so we're not discounting, because you hear that they want the best teams, not the deserved. They want the best. So how do you say that a team that's undefeated with their backup quarterback over, you know, a Texas team that's Quinn Ewers, you know, quarterbacked, right? I mean, in all honesty.
Honestly, those are the two worst Power 5 conferences, the Big 12 right now and the ACC. But still, if the backup quarterback leads them to a win over right now, it's a 2-loss Louisville team.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I still think you can't just diminish everything they've done because you just think the backup quarterback's not that good.
Okay. And so Texas wins. How does Texas get in if Alabama beats Georgia? How does that happen?
They need a lot of help. I think they...
Even though Texas has beaten Alabama. I mean, like, let's cape for the Longhorn fan right now, because they're like, it shouldn't matter. Like, we beat Alabama.
I mean,
friggin' beat Alabama, and Alabama's still going to go with the
and
same...
And the irony here is they would be really being snubbed by the aura of the league they're about to become. The idea that an SEC champ is going to get left out doesn't compute for anybody. It just doesn't. You know, and it's unfortunate... But I think that the rationale that they would talk themselves into is Alabama, with a much improved Jalen Milroe, not the same guy that Texas played early in the year. Now, it's not to say Texas hasn't improved from that point either, but I think Alabama has improved as much as anybody from the beginning of the season to now, especially Jalen Milroe. If they beat Georgia, I think we're going to look at them way differently. It hasn't happened yet, so we don't. You know, haven't digested it yet.
Right.
But what happens in college football, and I feel like it's way different than it is in other sports because there's just way less games. But when you see stuff happen, it's like we look at them differently. Like, we looked at LSU differently when they went to Tuscaloosa with Joe Burrow and they beat Alabama. At that point, it was like, ooh, we just remember all the stuff that had happened before. And then you kind of look, oh, Clyde is actually really good. And this guy's really good. And it's like they're on a different level. And we look at them differently when it happens. If Jalen Milroe beats Georgia, we will look at Jalen Milroe and Alabama much differently. I almost promise you. I'm not saying it's definitely going to happen.
Oh, of
but
course.
I think if it does, I think that'll be, you know, a collective narrative.
Makes complete sense. And the flip side of that is true, too. Because speaking on behalf of... you know, a lot of Wolverine fans watching this season play out, feeling how our team, Team 144, as we refer to them, looks, and how deep the team is, and how, as you even pointed out, how many NFL players are on this roster right now. We're feeling really good about the long, you know, term hopes for this season, because Georgia looks less than, right? They don't look like the Georgia the last 2 years. Georgia goes and beats Alabama, it'll be like, oh, okay. Yeah. They go for a three-peat right now. They'll look a hell of a lot more different in the eyes of a lot of people if they pound Alabama and just win that game, just in going in style. It'll be like, that's, well, there's your three-peat right there.
Well, it'll erase, you know, some of the skepticism that people who watched Auburn and a way less athletic quarterback than Jalen Milroe run all over them for a while.
Yes.
Now, if they shut down Jalen Milroe, I think that would be a big statement for them. I think it's also a chance. Carson Beck has quietly, about as quiet as you can be on a number one team, been very, very impressive. But I think, you know, fair or unfair, the benchmark for him now at Georgia is going to be, well, Stetson Bennett really lit it up in the playoffs. That's when he was like, seemed like he was just a playmaker and did, you know, I get it. He's not 6'4", and mm-hmm. he doesn't do a lot of the same stuff that, you know, you want people evaluate and look for. But he was a really good playmaker in the playoffs, and he seemed like he was pretty unflappable, and he rose to the moment. That's the challenge, I think, now for Carson Beck, if he can show he can do that. Because right now, they, you know, Missouri's pretty good, but they haven't played anybody who'd say, okay, this is a legit playoff team. And they will play a legit playoff caliber team this weekend.
So exciting. Let's take a break. When we come back, I'd love to talk about the future of the college football playoff and also a fascinating quote that Caleb Williams gave to the Los Angeles Times in today's edition. That's next. Bruce Feldman is here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't you dare move. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah, let's get into it.
What do you think is going to happen if Michigan wins the Big Ten championship as expected and Tony Petitti, the commissioner who suspended Jim, is up there handing with a trophy in his hand? What do you think?
I think it will surpass in Jim Harbaugh awkward moments of engagement the what's your deal with Pete Carroll and whatever happened with Jim Schwartz.
We got like a power ranking.
Yeah, nice, I like it. Okay, those two were really weird.
And whatever happened with Jim Schwartz? Remember that handshake?
Yeah, that was strange.
Okay, that's not bad. I don't know. I think he's going to go up and he'll just take.
You suspended him when they were flying to
Penn State
in the air
day before. That is jacked up. Again, I understand that he accepted the punishment at the end, but on Veterans Day, right?
Yeah, that was
right. Where there were no courts were open for any judicial relief.
Observation of Veterans Day.
One of the biggest,
right? Yeah. So it's a federal holiday.
One of the biggest beefs.
They know what they're doing.
The Michigan people had on regard to that is like you're basically taking your direction all from the people who are the coaches. It's like when does that ever happen in any form of justice in the NCAA.
Well, at least I'm sure one of them wasn't the one that Michigan beat on the weekend. Do you know who the coaches were? Were they all of them?
No, there was a couple guys who were not physically there on that call. I don't know if Brett Bielema was on the call. I think there was somebody else. Now it feels like it's like 6 months ago because all this stuff is just piled on top of each other.
Yeah. I think Jim will take the trophy. I mean, again, if they win this game.
They win.
He'll just take the trophy. And maybe point to his name in the Ring of Honor in there too. His name's on the wall.
I'd be curious if there are conversations with Jim Harbaugh, whoever talks to him, but hey, if and when you guys do win, what do you say to the commissioner?
I don't think, back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio, Bruce Feldman, we're asking what happens at the podium if Harbaugh wins and Commissioner Tony Petitti's got a trophy to hand him. I think he just takes it and he turns around and he looks at his kids. I think that's the way it would go. But of course, Iowa's got other things to say.
And they're a really good defensive team.
They are that. So we just had a whole conversation about the college football playoff Final Four and who is on the outside looking in and whether it's fair to Texas or Alabama or Ohio State or Florida State and all of that business. Flash forward to next year, this ain't the conversation. Completely different conversation. So I believe Ross Dellinger of Yahoo put together what the college football playoff committee's current standings would look like in next year's format. Mm-hmm. And we have it on our screen right now. There it is, where Texas would host Penn State. The winner then plays Michigan.
Like an SEC quadrant.
Correct. And then there's Ohio State hosts Ole Miss. Winner plays Washington. Alabama plays Missouri. Winner plays Georgia in the Peach Bowl. My goodness gracious. Oregon hosts Tulane. And the winner goes and plays Florida State in the Orange Bowl.
It's fun.
And my question is which one do you like better? The one like this where we're having controversy and talking about who's in, who's out, who deserves or not, or doesn't matter, let's just play it out. And the controversy is who's Tulane keeping out at 12? What do you got for me on that? What do you think?
As a football fan, on the surface, I like what you just showed, Ross's breakdown of what it would be like for 12. The part that I don't love about this is, so we just had a super intense Saturday of Michigan and Ohio State.
And by the way, the rest of the day, Apple Cup, Iron Bowl, Farmageddon, which yeah. I know wasn't for a spot, but in the Snowmageddon
wild,
and Farmageddon.
Wild 4 minutes of that, whatever happened at the end of that game with, you know, you intercepted. No, you intercepted. But I thought Michigan, Ohio State, if it's a rematch the next week.
In the Big Ten Championship game.
In the Big Ten Championship game, because now there are no divisions next year. Does that diffuse a lot of, does that make some of the other games less meaningful?
Hell right? Yeah, it does. And certainly, what if they face each other for a third time in the college football playoff?
Yeah, then it feels like college basketball, right?
Or, you know, professional football where, you know, Titans Ravens used to play three times in a year, right? Where, but they played one time in the playoffs as well. Yeah, I don't know. I'm back and forth on it. I look at that and I'm like, hell yeah, do I want to see Ole Miss and the, like Lane Kiffin in the horseshoe? You know, I mean, Texas and Penn State is a fascinating
one.
Yeah,
I think the matchups are really compelling. I just think there's going to be the awkwardness of the double play, right? Because I remember this coming up with Bedlam at one point before Oklahoma, you know, this, you know, Oklahoma and Texas were going to bail from the Big 12. About what happens when the teams that are normally at the end of the year, now all of a sudden you strip away divisions so they can have a rematch. I think, you know, yeah, it's fine with Texas and OU in this case. You know, it would have been if OU was in the Big 12 title game, mm-hmm. because that game happens early. Red River is like basically in the middle of the season.
Yes.
It's when it's like, hey, we're going to play the, you know, we just got to beat these guys. Now you got to beat them again another week from now. That's the part that I think is like, and it's not going to always happen in this setup, but there are a few of these scenarios which I think are going to be a little tough to wrap your head around.
How about this wild idea? How about we get rid of conference title games?
A lot of money people are making.
I get it. I hear you. I understand it.
I work for one of those companies.
Hey, I understand that. And you know, Chris and I were joking about it earlier with TJ. Also, like, remember the time when used to say, oh, these college kids, we can't do this. They're college kids. They can't play 16 games in a year. That's professional football. Well, 12 regular season games, one conference championship game. The loser then winds up not getting the bye, has to play three games to win it all. That's 16.
Well, that's a lot of wear and tear on college athletes, right? And there's no doubt about it.
Academically, too, right? Because they're going to have to find time to actually study, right?
Well, like a lot of classes are online or whatever. Yeah, there's that, too. But I think it's just. Physically, the injury risk and everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure at some point you'll see somebody who will be like, all right, I'm good. You know, that's it or whatever. I'm not 100% right now. I'm not going to risk it. Even if it's especially if it's a team that's like a 9 seed or whatever. I mean, I think at some point somebody will say
for
that.
For professional football aspirations is what you're saying.
Yeah. I think that will happen. I mean, I don't think it'll be across the board.
And if Christian McCaffrey got crap for sitting out a Sun Bowl in El Paso, can you imagine what red flags would be raised at the professional level of somebody that sits out as a 9 seed in the
really
college
good?
Football playoff?
Is he
game?
Really good? Because the red flags end up going away if you're really, really, really good.
Exactly. I know. I'm just saying, yeah. You know, narratives, conversations.
I think for me, I'm wondering how many years are we going to get where the best team doesn't win the national championship. Because with the BCS and even this Final Four, you get the sense that the best team always won.
Can I bring this up?
By the way, that's a Patriot fan that got beaten by Eli Manning right there.
Yeah, that's where I was
right
going to go, though.
The best team? The team that wins it all.
It's a tournament, right, in the NFL, right?
But nobody thinks the Giants were the best team.
There you go.
I don't know. Even look at college basketball. It's a random. It's a crapshoot. Connecticut was not the best team in the country last year. I'm sorry.
They just dominated everybody. Like, I have no dog in that fight at all. But, like, they just smashed everybody. I remember, like, Hurley afterwards was like, oh, he seemed to be really matter of fact, like, oh, yeah, we knew we were going to kick the crap out of everybody kind of thing. Like, that's how it felt.
Yeah.
This feels a little more like, you know, sometimes in baseball, it feels like it's the hottest team that goes through.
Right.
That's true.
College football, I feel like, is the most tilted towards that not happening. I could see it where it's not the best team ends up winning it. I'd be really shocked if a number 12 or 11 seed ends up winning it all.
In the 3 minutes I have left with you here, Caleb Williams, in an interview with the Los Angeles Times, said it's quote unquote a game time decision whether he decides to go pro at the January 15th deadline. What's your reaction to that?
I'll be shocked if he ends up staying at USC right now or staying in college football, period. I mean, you know, I mean, it's like, okay.
So what does that mean? Game time decision? Like, he's just truly on the fence?
He's got the number one pick.
Is that what it is? He'll stay in there if the team isn't to his satisfaction?
He makes $8 million next year in NIL. Like, why wouldn't he just play college football?
Yeah, Matt Rhule said today a quarterback in the transfer portal means $1 to $1.5 million in NIL. You have to basically
a really good one.
Did you basically have to promise that in the portal to get a good quarterback in the portal? So what's he worth? I don't think it's money. I don't think, right? I mean, again, you're the inside man here. What do you think?
I don't know how he and his dad's, you know, helping manage him through this.
Yes.
I mean, USC is right now in certainly a state of flux.
Losing 5 of 6. How the hell did that happen to end?
Yeah. I mean, I think if you're Caleb Williams, you saw him, like, how emotional he was, you know, a couple of weeks ago after one of the losses. I mean, at this point, like, you start your clock in terms of as a draft pick, you know, if you delay it another year, I think ultimately it's like, okay, are you that leery of who is going to take you? Because there's no guarantees next year. It's all of a sudden, oh, yeah, I'm going to stay another year.
It's more viable, the franchise.
The other thing with Caleb, too, and I know he's a sturdy, you know, he's not like he's Bryce Young size, but you run around, you take a lot of hits. You know, you're going to have another year of that risk where, you know, it's a career-altering injury. You're going to risk that to stay in college another year. That would really surprise me because that's a position where a lot of guys do not make it through a regular season that way.
I mean, we just saw the way it ended, too. Bruce Feldman, thank you for coming here, brother. Awesome.
Pleasure.
We'll see you next week when things will be a little bit more crystallized. We got Bruce Feldman here, the brilliant, hilarious Robert Smigel in studio, hour 3. We still have about a minute and a half to go. I feel like I had the heart out. I feel like I cut you off right there.
You just threw me out. Now all of a sudden I'm still lingering. Like I'm the.
I know. I've got many audiences.
I went to junior college, and that was what it felt like when I went to the high school parties, by the way. It's like, oh, we're still here.
High school parties in junior college. We're learning.
Well, Caleb can't transfer.
What, you mean your eligibility? You still had one more year of eligibility in high school? Is that what you're saying?
Man, I went to school for 6 years and didn't get any big degrees. Anyway,
what JC did you go to? What junior college?
I went to Ulster Junior College.
Ulster, where is that?
That's in halfway upstate New York.
Okay. Do you know where that is, Chris? Ulster?
No.
SUNY Ulster.
SUNY?
Yeah. You Google that fast?
This junior college is in the SUNY system?
I didn't know that. University of New York, yeah. Stone Ridge, New York.
I know about the SUNY system. Oneonta.
Oh, yeah.
This was back in the day.
Linda Cohn went to a SUNY. She went to a SUNY school, I think.
I played junior college golf there. We got $5 for meal money for those trips.
Is that for your name or your image or your likeness?
Yeah, my image was on the Burger King thing. That's what all you could do with $5.
Hold the pickles. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. All right, so next week we'll obviously be talking about the Final Four and then the Heisman, right?
I mean, look, the Heisman, nobody talks about it much anymore unless you're at LSU. Like, Jaden Daniels has been phenomenal this year. You know, we think it's going to be the other, what happened in the Pac-12 title game. Like, if Michael Penix goes wild and goes off and has a spectacular day, he may be able to snatch the Heisman away, but I feel like it's, barring that, I feel like it's Bo Nix or else Jaden Daniels.
Thank you very much, Bruce Feldman. You're the man.
Thank you.